Well, good morning. My name's Nathan. I'm one of the pastors at the church here. It's great to see you this morning. If I haven't yet met you personally, please do come say hi. I'd love to get to know you and connect a bit better with you. We're going to get our Bibles open now. As Tim alluded to earlier, we are in the book of Philemon, a very short letter in the New Testament. You'll find that on page 1200 of the church Bibles. Just while we're turning this, sorry, David, can you run and get me the clicker? Is it all right? I've left that upstairs. Thank you. Philemon, and we're going to read the whole letter. We're going to read it every week because it's a short letter. But just a reminder, Tim's already mentioned it in the kids' talk, but it's a very personal letter. It's very different to some of the letters that we have in the New Testament. Often the letters written to the early churches are addressed to the whole church, whereas this letter is very personal. It's from the Apostle Paul. It's to a man named Philemon who's become a disciple of the Lord Jesus. And it's asking Philemon to do something very specific, which is to welcome this runaway slave of Philemon's called Onesimus back home. It's to have him back in the house, not as a slave, but as a brother, as someone who's become a follower of Jesus. And we're seeing that the request to do that is on the basis of love. The love that Philemon has been shown by Jesus is the love that he is now to extend to this man, Onesimus. And there's all sorts of challenges in that for us. And we're going to read the letter, and then we're going to have a think about just a little bit of it together today. So Philemon, starting at verse 1. Paul, a prisoner of Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother. To Philemon, our dear friend and fellow worker. Also to Apphia, our sister, and to Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church that meets in your home. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. I pray that your partnership with us in the faith may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement, because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I prefer to appeal to you on the basis of love. It is as none other than Paul, an old man and now also a prisoner of Christ Jesus, that I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, who became my son while I was in chains. Formerly, he was useless to you, but now he has become useful both to you and to me. I am sending him who is my very heart back to you. I would have liked to keep him with me so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do would not seem forced, but would be voluntary. Perhaps the reason he was separated from you for a little while was that you might have him back forever. No longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. He is very dear to me, but even dearer to you, both as a fellow man and as a brother in the Lord. So, if you consider me a partner, welcome him as you would welcome me. If he has done anything, any wrong, or owes you anything, charge it to me. I, Paul, am writing this with my own hand. I will pay it back, not to mention that you owe me your very self. I do wish, brother, that I may have some benefit from you in the Lord. Refresh my heart in Christ. Confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will do even more than I ask. And one more thing. Prepare a guest room for me, because I hope to be restored to you in answer to your prayers. Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ Jesus, sends you greetings. And so do Mark, Aristarchus, Demas, and Luke, my fellow workers. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. This is God's word to us today. Let's pray and let's ask for God's help as we look at a short part of this letter together. Our God and our Father in heaven, we thank you that you have preserved for us this very personal letter between Paul and Philemon. And Father, as we are challenged on these pages to see the difference that the gospel makes in one man's life, we ask today that you would be stepping into our lives and our personal circumstances and teaching us what it looks like to be transformed and shaped and affected by the love that Christ has shown us. Father, we want to be people who leave here this week and in our relationships want to be those who reflect and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, Father, please, as we consider another portion of this letter today, teach us. Holy Spirit, move among us, that these words might not just be words on a page, but they might live, that they might convict, they might challenge, they might show us the beauty and glory of our Savior Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen. Well, a number of years ago, I had a friend who started to come along to church for the very first time in his life. He came just to start with on a Sunday morning. He encountered a gathering very much like this. And then after one of the Sunday services, a person in the church invited him back to lunch with some other people in the church. And eventually he just kind of got closer and closer to what we call the church, the people. He got closer than seeing that actually this is more than just a gathering on a Sunday morning where we sing a few songs and we hear the Bible preached. He got a little bit closer and closer to the church. And then a couple of weeks later, after he'd come along to church, and we sat together and we had a cup of coffee. And this is what he said to me over the cup of coffee. He looked quite stunned. And he said, "Wow." He says, "I can't believe how much you guys love each other." That was his observation. It wasn't manufactured. It wasn't a show we'd put on. We didn't think, oh, a guest's walked through the door. We better be on our best behavior. We better show that we love one another. This was something that he had observed as he drew near to the community of people who had been changed and transformed by the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. You guys really love one another. And as a pastor today, I could stand before you and I could tell you story after story of the way I have seen you guys love one another, as I have seen people within the church family love each other in pretty special and outrageous ways. And maybe as you come to church this morning, that is your experience of church. You sit here and think, yeah, actually, my experience is that this is a group of people who really do love each other, who really do look out for each other, who really care for each other, who really walk alongside one another. Sadly, that's not everyone's experience of church. Maybe you're here this morning and you've come along with someone who seems to be kind of obsessed, as it were, with the church, with the people of God, and they give themselves to the church, and you think, this person really loves these people. Why? Why do they love the church so much? But it's this love for the church that we see this morning, I want us to kind of give our attention to in Philemon. You see this love that Philemon has for the church in verses 4 to 7. Philemon, we don't have his backstory, but Philemon, somewhere in the journey of his life, has encountered the good news of Jesus coming into this world, crucified for sinners, raised from the dead, ascended to heaven, returning as judge. That good news Philemon has encountered and he has believed, and he, Philemon, has experienced the love of Jesus Christ. Love that would welcome him and embrace him and forgive him and bring him close. And Philemon, having been loved like that by Jesus, is now someone who extends that love to the church. You see, look at verses 4 and 5 with me. Paul's writing, "I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus. And you see it again in verse 7. Look down there. Your love, Philemon, has given me great joy and encouragement. Philemon loves the church. Philemon loves those who have been loved by the Lord Jesus. Or as Paul puts it in verse 5, he loves the holy people. Now that's a grand title for the church, isn't it? The holy people. But what that means is the holy people are those who that have been loved by Jesus in such a way that their sins have been forgiven. So we're in the clear with God, and we have been set apart in this world to be different, to be distinctive, to belong to God. Now, you may not look around this room and think, well, we don't look anything special, but friends, in heaven's eyes, we are, because we're the holy people. Not because of anything we've done, but because Jesus has loved us. And Philemon is someone who loves the holy people. He loves the church. And what truth is it, as we come to this letter, short as it may be, what truth are we seeing lived out in this man Philemon? Well, if I could put it like this morning, it is this. This is the truth that we're going to consider together. Those loved by Jesus will love those who have been loved by Jesus. Or if I could put it more simply, so you can get your heads around it, those loved by Jesus will love the church. Because the church are those who have been loved by Jesus. As I walk into this room on a Sunday, I don't just see a group of people from Enfield. I should see a group of people that God has lavished his love on. I walk in, I think, oh, that person has been loved by Jesus. That person's been welcomed by Jesus. See, that is the point that we're seeing here. Those loved by Jesus should extend love to the church, the holy people, those who have experienced the love of Jesus. Now, there's lots we could say about love, okay? So what I'm saying this morning is not everything, because, of course, the church is told to love the world. We're told to love other people. But we're focusing our attention this morning, just through this character Philemon, on loving the church. Love for God's holy people. You see, look again with me at verse 5. Let's have a look at this. Paul says to him, hearing about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this word love for the Lord's people and faith in Jesus Christ, they're like a little kind of couple that walk hand in hand down the road in the New Testament. They always go together. They're like a pair. See, wherever there is genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, genuine faith in this Son of God who has loved us and given himself for us, when there is faith, there should always be love for the holy people. They go hand in hand. They complement one another. It's not an optional extra. You know, Paul never opens a New Testament letter. If you've ever kind of flicked through the New Testament and read his letters, he never opens a New Testament letter and says, oh, I thank God for your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's a shame you don't love each other. Actually, they're a pair. They go hand in hand. Paul would not let any of us sit here this morning and say, do you know what, Nathan, I love Jesus, but I'm not so keen on the church. He wouldn't let us get away with that. Why? Because they're a pair. Faith in Jesus, who has loved us in an extravagant and an extraordinary way, should always be complemented by a love for the people that Jesus has loved. They're like two sides of a coin. When we have experienced the love of Jesus, and friends, just pause to think about that love. Many of us will know it, the outrageous love. Love for people who have run away from him. Love for people who have done nothing to attract him to us. Love that is not performance-based. We don't have to perform to earn Jesus' love. That's amazing, isn't it? You don't have to perform this morning to get Jesus to love you. He just does. And this love that we've experienced will start to transform and change us to love others in the same way, particularly those that Jesus has loved. We will love the church. We will love his holy people. We will love as he has loved us. We will start to see the people in this room a little bit differently. And this morning, all I want to do is just having kind of seen that in this man Philemon, that's what's true for him. This is how he has been changed by this love that Paul later appeals to. I want us to just spend a little bit of time thinking about that love that we see here. And I want it to challenge us. Listen, there's no point in coming to church if we're not going to let God's word kind of get into us, is it? We're not going to the cinema this morning. We're here because we want to hear God's voice. And we want to hear the challenge. And I hope that as we look at Philemon's love for the church, that actually it will challenge us a little bit and encourage us perhaps to love one another a bit more. Wouldn't it be great if this week, because we've heard God's word on loving the church, that we started to love each other a little bit more than we do already? And I think we do, by the way, but it would be great if we did it more. So here we go. Here's the first thing I want us to see this morning about this love that we're to have for the church. First of all, it's meant to be an all-inclusive love. Look at verse 5. Paul says, because I hear about your love for all his holy people and your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. See, notice the kind of love that Philemon has. Who's it for? It's for all his holy people. You notice that word? You can easily skirt over that word. Now, what's he referring to? It could be that Philemon has a love for all the church, all over the world. And Philemon is this man who kind of loves everyone in this kind of way. But actually, I think probably what it's referring to here is that he loved all the people in his local church. I think he did love the universal church. But look particularly back at verse 2. Philemon has a church that meets in his home. And so Paul hears that Philemon has a love for his local church, for the body of believers, the holy people that he is connected to. See, Philemon loved all the people that walked through the doors of his house to gather for worship, to gather to follow the Lord Jesus. If you were with us last week when Glenn was taking us through some of the first verses, we considered together that there were loads of different types of people in the church. Probably the church at Colossae. This was the church that met in his home. And if you read that letter, you'll see there's a huge variety of people that walk through the doors of his house and that he loved. And Philemon extends his love not to just a few of his mates, not just to kind of the people he liked that walked through the doors. Who did he extend it to? Good, I'm glad you're alive this morning. Who did he extend it to? All. It was all his holy people. Now, friends, that's worth pausing on for a moment, isn't it? That is a challenge to us. He loved all his holy people. Is that the kind of love, honestly, that we have for other believers in this local church? Is it the sort of love that we have for the people of Enfield Town Community Church who love and worship the Lord Jesus? Or if we're honest, are we a little bit selective in who we love? There's all sorts of reasons we might select to love people, aren't there? They're like us. They might love us back. They're not very complicated. We might choose who to love, perhaps even if they'll love us back. But think about this, friends, for a moment. Jesus, in his great love, has all sorts of people trusting in him, doesn't he? He's got an all-inclusive love. I mean, just look at us. I know it's embarrassing to look around a room, but what a bunch of people. How inclusive is Jesus to let us lot be part of his loved people? And if he is all-inclusive, then shouldn't we be? Shouldn't we extend love to one another? You see, what that means in reality, if Jesus is all-inclusive, now let's just join the dots, okay? If Jesus is all-inclusive, that means that church, his holy people, are going to be made up of all sorts of people that we might not get on with very well, that we might temperamentally clash with, that we might upset sometimes even. Dare I say it, church is made up of people that we might not naturally choose to love. But when, friends, the love of Jesus has got hold of your heart, and when you begin to see the sort of all-inclusive love that Jesus has for this world, for people like us, then actually we will push ourselves to have the kind of all-inclusive love that Jesus has for us. See, the moment that we start loving selectively in church life, that's the moment that we stop reflecting the love that we've been shown. Now, Philemon, you see, is already doing this kind of love. That's the wonderful thing, isn't it? Paul's heard about it from a distance. That's what's caught his ear. From a distance, Paul has heard, well, Philemon loves everyone who comes to the church. But yet Paul wants him to do it more and more. He already has love for all the Lord's people. But, and you can see where this is going, because we've talked about the letter of Philemon, will the all include Onesimus? You see how that's coming? Yeah, I love all the Lord's people, but not Onesimus. No, all really must mean all. And Paul is saying to Philemon, look, you already do this. Will you extend it even further? Will you push your all to its limits? Friends, I want to ask you this morning, and I place the challenge to myself, because we got to hear this together as a church family. Do we have all-inclusive love for the church? When does your all get pushed? When does your all, as it were, get pushed to its limits? When you think, well, I kind of love them, sort of. Those loved by Jesus. Friends, when we get gripped with the kind of love that Jesus has for people like us, it will start to change us and transform us, just like it did for Philemon, into someone who has all-inclusive love for people who belong to Jesus. That's the first thing. Second thing I want us to see about this love this morning, to hear the challenge, is it's actually an active love. I guess we've all heard of the expression, all talk, no action. You've heard of that expression? You know, they talk a good game, but they don't see it through. Now, I guess all of us are guilty of this in some way. I don't know, we're in October. I don't know if anyone actually made any New Year's resolutions this year. But many of us, when it comes to New Year's resolutions, talk a good game. You know, we set out this, you know, 2019 was the year that I decided I was going to get fit. But actually, and you can even go and buy a pair of running trainers. You can even look the business. You can talk the game, but you don't see it through with actions. You see, the feeling may be there. The talk may be there. The intentions may be there, but it's never matched by what you do. And the danger, friends, is that the same is true when it comes to love for God's holy people. We can be all talk and no actions. We can be all songs on a Sunday. Jesus, you've loved us and we love you. But then there's no action in loving the holy people. But Philemon, you see, stands in contrast to all talk, no action. Because Philemon, as we look at the kind of way God's love has transformed him, we see that his love is an active love. It's a love of actions. Look at verse 7 with me. Your love has given me great joy and encouragement because you, brother, have refreshed the hearts of the Lord's people. Philemon, his love was more than just words. It was more than just, oh, you know, oh, I love you, church. You know, and he goes, oh, I love you back, Philemon. And it's all squidgy, squidgy. No, his love was active. It was seen, it was felt, it was experienced by others. You see, look at how it was experienced, verse 7. He refreshes the hearts of the Lord's people. You see, the word to refresh here actually has a military origin. So it's the idea of an army marching all day. You've probably seen images of marching armies with their backpacks on and their boots on, and they march. And then the commander says, right, we're going to have a break. And the armies, they sit down from this march. They take the weight off their feet, their backpacks off, and they refresh themselves from the toil of this march. And that word is what we have here. Philemon was someone who actively showed his love in a way that meant that the people of God, individuals, felt refreshed. Like the weight had been taken off their shoulders and their feet got a break. As the Lord's people march every day in this life of following Jesus, Philemon had a way of coming into that situation and refreshing people. It's a lovely picture, isn't it? Friends, I want to say to you that that is an active way that we, as a church, can grow in loving each other. We can look to refresh one another's hearts. Refresh that very inner feeling, just like Philemon did with this local church he belonged to in Colossae. Actually, we can do that with one another. See, if we were to go around this room this morning, and we won't because it will be embarrassing for everybody, but if we were to go around this room and I was to just say, hey, what's weighing your heart down at the moment? What is it that's making you feel burdened at the moment? What are you finding hard about following Jesus at the moment? I guess we'd have a pretty big list up the front here, wouldn't we? Some of us it might be sickness. Some of us it might be work situation. Some of us it might be relationships. Some of us it might be struggles in parenting. Some of us it might just be worries about the future. And we could make a long list that are getting us down. There may be sins and temptations that we're struggling with over and over again. And these are the things that are making our hearts feel heavy, marching and marching. And we're thinking, man, this march is going on forever. When will it end? Now, of course, as individuals, we can't just magic away those situations. You can't just come alongside someone in church and they'll say, oh, do you know what, I'll get rid of it. But what we can do is give each other relief and refresh one another when the march is long and hard and your feet feel weary and your shoulders feel weighed down. We can love one another by refreshing each other. Now, of course, we don't know how Philemon did it. We're not told how he refreshed the hearts of the saints. It may have been through a kind word. It may have been through offering to pray with someone. It may have been reminding them of the love that Jesus has for them. Don't lose sight of that when the march is hard, how much Jesus loves us and gave himself for us. It may have been that he offered some practical help. It may be that he helped people with some money. It may be that he had people to stay in his home. We just don't know exactly how he did it. But in all these ways and more, Philemon's love was active. And it refreshed the hearts of God's people because he loved on them. He loved them in a way that was felt and experienced and was tangible and had an effect on the holy people of God. And friends, in all those kind of ways, we can seek to refresh one another. See, do you know what's making someone sitting in this room feeling heavy? Is there a way this week that you could think, how could I refresh them just for a moment? Could I pray with them? Could I give them a verse from the Bible that might help them? Could I be practical and help them in some way? How could I just take the weight off their feet? You see, isn't that the kind of love that the Lord Jesus has had for us? Isn't his love active love? A love that has refreshed us, taken the weight off our feet in things that we just couldn't do. Friends, we could never earn God's love. Friends, we could never achieve our salvation, and yet Jesus in his active love came into this world and refreshes us. What did he say in Matthew's gospel? Come to me, all you who are weary and laden, and I will give you rest. His love is an active love that refreshes people's hearts, takes the weight off our feet. And friends, when we have been gripped by that love and when that's got hold of us, that is the kind of love that we will want to show to one another. Are you all talk and no action when it comes to loving God's people? You see, those of us gripped by the all-inclusive and active love of Jesus will be active in our love for others. Let me ask you this week, whose heart in church this week are you going to try and refresh? That would be a great thing to do, wouldn't it? If we leave church today, I'm like, who can I refresh this week? Here's the third thing I want us to see about this love. It's an affecting love. Now, what do I mean by that? It's a love that affects others around us. So come back with me to my friend who came to church and experienced that. He sat with me and he said, wow, I can't believe how much you guys love each other. Through spending a few weeks with the church, he had been deeply affected. He'd had a dent left in him by what he'd seen and experienced. And the same is true for the love that we show one another. as the church loves one another, as Jesus has loved us, it has an effect on those around us. Now, that's what we see particularly in Paul. So remember, Paul's writing this letter. He has heard of Philemon's love, and it's affected him. Now, how has it affected him? Come with me if you're following this. Look at verse 4. How has Paul been affected by Philemon's love for the church? Well, first of all, it causes him to overflow in thanksgiving. You see that there? I always thank my God as I remember you in my prayers. As Paul hears about Philemon's love and faith, he gets down on his knees and he says, God, thank you for what I hear about Philemon. Why? Why does he do that? Because God is the source of that love. God is the source of that change in Philemon. Forgive me if I've told this story before, but the other day I was trying to teach my little Zebulun, he's 5 years old, to say thank you for a present that he'd been given. So my mum had brought him a gift, and he comes up to me to show me what it was, and I said, oh, that's lovely. I said, you need to say thank you to Nana. And so he looks at me in the eye, and he says, thank you to Nana. No, you need to actually go to Nana and say thank you to Nana. So still confused, he looks at me and he says, thank you, Nana. And I'm like, no, you have to go to Nana and say thank you because she gave you the gift. And so my five-year-old son eventually kind of goes over to my mom and says, thank you for my presents. But it's really important, isn't it? I was trying to teach my son that you've got to go to the giver of the gift to say thank you. And that's what we see Paul doing here. When I see somebody in the church love somebody else, where do I go? Well, I could go to them and say, oh, thank you. Thank you for showing such wonderful love. Or I could go to God. I say, God, thank you. Thank you that you've so gripped these people with the love of Jesus that they want to love one another in that kind of way. God is the source of love. And so when somebody has loved you in church and helped you and refreshed you, or when you've seen it happen in other people, we should go to God and we should thank him for it. It affects others. When was the last time you said thank you to God for some act of love that you've seen in church or experienced in church? And when we see it, we shouldn't just thank God for it. That's not the only effect it has on Paul. You notice that? Have a look with me at verse 6. Because he then goes on to pray for more. He thanks God for what he's seen, and he prays for more. Let me just show you verse 6. I pray that your partnership, your participation with us in the faith, in this act of loving others, may be effective in deepening your understanding of every good thing we share for the sake of Christ. He thanks God for it and he prays for it. You remember, anyone ever seen the play Oliver Twist? And that, you know, this poor little boy and he stands there with a bowl and he says, please, sir, can I have some more? Like that, that's what he says. Well, that's what we should be like before God. When you see love lived out in church, you shouldn't be like, oh, that's great, I'm full up now. You should go with your bowl and we should say to God, please, sir, please, Lord, can we have some more? We want more of that love. We want you to grip us in such a way that this is just the love that flows between us. Please, sir, can I have some more? Now, we considered verse 6 a couple of weeks ago, so I'm not going to kind of go over it in detail again now. But in effect, it is just Paul requesting more love in Philemon. Help him to love more and help him to grasp the size of Jesus' love. See, Paul prays for Philemon to love more, because as Philemon loves more like Jesus, he'll get a deeper understanding of just how much Jesus loves him. And then when he gets a deeper understanding of how much Jesus loves him, he'll begin to love more. Do you see how it goes round and round? There is a depth to Jesus' love that we will never reach the bottom of. And friends, we got to say, Lord, thank you for the love we see in church. Please give us more so that we grow more to see more of the love of Jesus. Do you pray like that for Enfield Town Community Church? You know, that's a great thing. If you're the sort of person here who keeps a prayer diary, which I hope you are, if you keep a prayer diary, please add to your list, Lord, please help Enfield Town Community Church to love more and more. Help us to do it so that we grasp something more of the depth of Jesus' love for us. So you see, Paul is affected. He thanks God for it. He prays for more of it. But he's also deeply encouraged by it. You see that in verse 7? Your love, Philemon, has given me, Paul, great joy and encouragement. This love that he's heard about, this love that he's seen, has affected Paul in such a way that it's given him great joy, given him great encouragement. In other words, he's spurred on. Paul has had kind of like a kick up the backside to say, keep going, Paul, woo! And he's off because he's seen in Philemon a genuine work of God. You see, what greater evidence is there that Jesus is being formed in the church, that he's being formed in us, than that we love one another like Jesus has loved us? See, where are you going to see Christ lived out in the church? It is in the way we love each other. Not to put on a show. You know, oh, look, a visitor's come through the door. We better make it look like we love each other. We're not trying to convince people that this you know, Jesus really loves us. It's a real thing as we are gripped. And I want to say, just by personal testimony this morning as a pastor, and that's probably just simply because I get more of a window into these things, I think, sometimes because of what I've been set aside to do full time. I want to say that I have been affected by this kind of love in the church. I've often thanked God for the love that I have seen between you guys. I have often asked God for more of it, that Enfield Town Community Church would be a place that is deepening in our understanding of the good things we have in Christ, that we might love one another more. And on many occasions, I've been spurred on to keep going because love is a genuine sign that God is doing something in this church. And he is. Friends, I want to encourage you with that. God is at work among us. This is not a waste of time. This community is not a fake club. God is at work. He is producing love, outrageous love, Jesus-type love among us. And friends, I just want to say that this love affects people, and it has affected me. So have you ever been affected by that love in this church, in another church perhaps that you belong to? You see, maybe you're not as yet part of Jesus' people, but you're here and you see something of that love. And this love, if you see it, if you taste it, should drive us to Jesus. It should drive us to the one that first loved him. You shouldn't be kind of wandering around and going, wow, you guys are amazing at loving each other. No, it should lift your eyes to the one who first loved us, to love inclusively a group of people like us. And then, once it leads you to Jesus, he then wants you to grow to love like him. Friends, what impact does the love of Jesus have on a man like Philemon? What impact should the love of Jesus, this great love, this outrageous love that he's shown us, have on people like us? Well, look at the screen. Those loved by Jesus will love his church. And that'll be an all-inclusive love. That's a challenge. It'll be an active love, not talk, no actions, but active action love. And it will be an affecting love, a love that has an impact on those that are around us, causing us to thank God, causing us to ask him for more, and encouraging us that God is at work in this local group of people. May our Lord Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us, help us to grasp something more of the height and depth of love that he has for us, that we might show that love for one another. Amen. Let's pray together, shall we? Our Father in heaven, we want to just take a moment to pause and say thank you for the lavish love of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that he has been so inclusive that he would pull together a room of people like us to know him, to love him, to serve him. Father, thank you that we've been forgiven by him. Father, there is nothing good in us that Jesus should love us. But Thank you that he has lavished that love on us. And Father, we ask, please, this morning that you would help us as those loved by Jesus to love like him, particularly to love the church, to love this church. Father, we want to say thank you for every evidence of love amongst us. And Lord, we want to say, please give us more. Please, with our partnership in the faith, in active love, deepen our understanding as a church of the love that Jesus has for us. And Father, please, would we be nudged even today a little bit closer to loving those that perhaps we might not naturally be inclined to love? And we ask, please, that this would be a place of all-inclusive, active, affecting love because of your grace to us. And we ask it, please, in Jesus' name. Amen.